As was mentioned, I'm the new pastor here, Pastor Steve. Good to see you all. And I've also kind of been around a long time. Met some of you at camp, like I mentioned before. In fact, this afternoon, we'll be going to see Nyla and somebody I met when I was 13 at camp. So camp's a great place. I'm excited for the senior hires on their way, excited for what the junior hires got to have, what God did in their lives. And I'm excited for all of you here with us today. So let's pray before we continue in Genesis. Father, we want to hear from you. We are anxious to hear what you have for us today. We are anxious to know where you want to take our lives. And we are anxious to follow you where you're going. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for your goodness in our lives. Amen. Okay, got a couple questions for you. What do you desire? What do you desire most? What else do you desire? All right. Have we got the attention of the kids? What do you want? Any kids tell me something they want? Well, I'm going to give you a chance to talk. Just a minute. I got a question for you. How will you pursue that desire? Okay, so now, what do you want, and how are you going to get it? All right, I got one more question for you. Sibling conflict. We're going to talk about Jacob's story. Jacob's story is full of sibling conflict. Jacob and Esau, Rachel and Leah. What have you fought with your brother or sister about? Now, kids, I want your attention, especially now. Have you ever fought with your brother or sister about, not just kids, but I'm going to ask, think about something you fought with your brother or sister about, okay? Now, I want you to turn to somebody next to you and confess. What did you fight with your brother or sister about? I'm sure it was their fault, but you can just talk about whatever it was, you know? Talk to somebody next to you about what you fought with your brother or sister about. Behind you. I see some siblings who aren't even talking to each other, so. Okay, now, I want to hear what some of those things were, and I want the kids to start. Kids first, what's something you fought with your brother or sister about? Do we need to get the adults to start first? Okay. I'll start with the adults so that, give an example to the kids. What did you fight with your brothers or sisters about?
Household chores.
Household chores. Okay. Specifically? The dishes. Yeah, okay. Big one in our house. Yep.
TV.
Okay. Something else?
Clothes.
Borrowing each other's clothes. Yes. Okay. Okay. Now we're going to the kids. Kids. Yeah. Okay. Sharing. Yeah. Sharing what? Sharing what? Anything? Anything specific? Toys. Yes. Yes. Sharing toys. Yeah. Lip balm. Okay. Yeah. All right, good one. Stealing each other's stuff. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Yep. Say it louder. Using the tablet. Okay, yep. Mm-hmm. Xbox, okay. All right. Somebody else? The phone. The one phone. Okay, right. Back when there was one phone. Yeah. Laptop. PS2. Is that what I heard? PS3. Okay, I'm behind the time. Sorry. Way in the back. Say it loud. Being next to dad, sitting next to dad. Okay. Nobody ever fought for their parents' attention, did they? Who got to get the most attention? Okay, I think we had some. Now, I have another question for you. Did you ever lie about anything to look better for your parents or to lie about something with your siblings? Yes? Pretty much unanimous? And the rest of you are lying, right? Okay. So there were times when you were a little bit deceptive, right? Myself, my brother, you know, sibling rivalry was tough for me because I was 7 years, there were 7 to 13 years older, five of them. Fortunately, most of them liked me, but, you know, I didn't have a lot of chance. So my brother, Nathan, the missionary, would tease me until I got upset, and then I'd attack him, and then he beat me up. So that was pretty much kind of how it went. He's 8 years older than me. So when he went to college at Concordia, everybody's kissing him, hugging him goodbye. I went up and gave him a punch in the stomach as hard as I could, and I ran. I thought, this is my chance. He can't get me back. I did miss him before he came back to, you know, but, and there were, you know, some deception, you know, like, you know, I was supposed to be doing my homework, but I was actually watching TV, so then the lights came up the driveway, and, you know, switched from over to the table where I didn't say I was working on my homework the whole time, but, you know, little deception here and there to make things look good, right? So we are talking about Esau and Jacob today. We talked about Isaac, and remember we said Isaac is not a very important figure. He's kind of the bridge between Abraham and Jacob. But the question is he going to be the bridge? Is this blessing going to pass from Abraham? So we found out Abraham was blessed. God fulfilled his promise to bless him and make him a blessing. But is it going to die with him? Well, finally, he has a son. Isaac is the one. Then he needs a wife. Otherwise, it's not going to go on. So they find a wife. And then there's the last time we looked at chronologically what happened when he was trying to find wells and trying to find the blessing. And God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. And he got new wells, and he was able to bless the other nations, and he received the blessing. Abraham's name is mentioned a bunch of times to show that Isaac was blessed by God with Abraham's blessing. But now what? Is he going to be able to pass it on? And we find out that Isaac and Rebekah can't have kids. They got a problem in this family. They have problems with having kids. So he's 40 when he gets married. He doesn't have a kid for 60 years. So let's read. We're actually, it's kind of one story, so I decided to do it together, but it's really three stories. So we're going to have a lot today of good stuff. Let's read in Genesis. You've got a Bible in front of you in the pew if you didn't bring one with you. Open up to Genesis, first book, chapter 25. Verse 19, it says, this is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. And again, notice we're skipping, because before it said Terah's family, meaning really about Abraham, but it doesn't say about Abraham's family, meaning really about Isaac. It says Isaac's family, meaning really about Isaac and Esau. So Isaac kind of gets skipped, because he's just the bridge to the next family. So Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. That's going to be important later. Laban's going to show up. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. So far, we've seen Isaac as quite a testimony of faith. And they don't find some other way like Abram and Sarah did. You know, what about a maidservant? He really prays earnestly in faith. And finally, after 20 years, God answers his prayer.
The babies jostled each within her, and Rebekah said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. Some more faith. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated." So this is about two nations. It's not just about Jacob and Esau. This is all about two nations that are going to come from them. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Now, for us, twins don't matter who's older or younger, right? Well, for us. For the Africans in the group, I think it matters. Now, in Tanzania, people always ask me, who's older? We have twins, right? Who is the older one? Who's the younger one? There's special names for the older and younger twins. And I think we have some older and younger twins here who have special names as well from Africa. But the only time I've ever been asked that here is by Africans. So which one is older? It matters. Because the older one is the older brother. He gets the double blessing. He gets all of the inheritance. He's the one who's going to continue the family line and take care of the whole family. And he gets more of the inheritance, more of the land, etc., in order to do that. So who's going to be older? When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her room, in her womb, just like it had been said. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. He's like an animal. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. So we see this was God's design. God had a design for each of them and actually told his mother ahead of time what the design was for each one of these twins of hers. The boys grew up, and Esau became a let me just sit on that for a minute. I want you to pay attention to this little story because Jacob, or God's people, were created by God. That's part of the point of waiting 20 years, showing that this was going to be a special child, just like Samuel, just like John the Baptist, just like Isaac. This was not just a, you know, happen to sleep together and have a baby. This was prayed for. God created this one. And you, as a people of God, were planned and created and a special creation of God's. An answer to persevering prayer and faith. Isaac had real faith. We, as a people, the fact that there's a people of God is an answer to people praying. Somebody prayed for you. That's why you're in this family. And there's others we need to pray for. You're chosen by God's grace, not because of your birth or your works. You're here because God chose you, not because you were so special. And you were chosen for a purpose that God knows. And we talked about especially that purpose is to build a family, to bless all the families, to build a nation, to bless all the nations, to build a kingdom. Especially through Jesus, this blessing is going to go to all nations and all the families of the earth. That was the promise way back to Abraham, right? Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith." You're here not because you're so special, it's because of grace. And it's faith, trust that got you here. But even the faith is a gift. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You can't say, I did so well that I'm a part of this church, that I'm a part of God's people. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there are things for us to do, good things for us to do, a destiny that we have. But it was created in advance for you to do. Do you know what it is? I mean, there's some good clues here. And maybe you've also had some prayers or some, some prophecies or some insights into what it is that God has created specifically for you to do and specifically for his people to do and specifically for this congregation to do. We're to be a house of prayer for all nations. God has prepared that in advance for us to do. So that's part of our destiny. We're trying to figure it out today. What is our destiny? Where are we going? It starts with God's design. Now, Romans 9, I don't have time to go into Romans 9 to 11, huge theological discussion, Calvinists and Arminians figuring out what's going on there. But
Paul is making a point. There are some Jews who were proud of their birth. We are sons of Jacob, sons of Israel, right? And we follow the law. So we really deserve to be God's people. These Gentiles just got here, and we don't know about them. All right? Paul counters that with saying, you know what? Esau was just as much a son of Isaac and grandson of Abraham as you were. He says, Rebekah gave birth to twins, but before they were born, before they'd done anything good or bad, she received a message from God. This message shows that God chooses people according to his own purposes. He calls people, but not according to their good or bad works. It's not because you're so good. She was told, your older son will serve your younger son. In the words of the scriptures, I love Jacob, but I rejected Esau. God had a purpose for Jacob, to be Israel, to bless the nations. It wasn't that he didn't care at all about Esau. He wanted Jacob to be a blessing to Esau, and especially he's talking about nations here, not really individuals. I don't really think it's about God choosing people to be damned. I think it's about God choosing nations to bless nations and choosing us as God's people to bless others. So don't be so hotty-totty that you're in. You're in for the people who aren't in yet. Okay? All right. Next story. We're going to talk about our desires. What do you really desire here? So the story goes on here, all right? The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. He hung out with mom. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Another translation says, Isaac loved Esau because he loved wild game, and he was such a good hunter. Now, a lot of us love certain things that our kids bring us, right? We want to be blessed by our kids, and our kids want to be blessed by us, right? For Isaac, it was especially this thing of they had this bond over hunting, all right? Now, that happens in families where a father or mother has a special bond with one kid because, you know, I always played basketball, and now my son's playing basketball, and he's doing even better than I did. This one is the smarter one, or this one is that you have some kind of bond, some kind of connection. And there's this tension that starts creeping into this family where Isaac, he really has this bond with Esau. And Jacob, now it doesn't say that she loved him for a reason. Maybe especially because of the oracle that she knew that what was going to happen with him. But she loved Jacob more, and that gets to be a problem. Favoritism tends to get to be a problem, and as much as we try to avoid it, it can still be a problem. So in my family, because of this story, this was a really important thing. So my grandma, she always, if she had a stamp from us, you know, she paid for the stamp, and a third after my grandfather died, a third of the year with each of us, each of the kids. But then when it came to, you know, the inheritance, the son got the whole farm. So, you know, it always happens that something, in my family, my parents are very important. But, you know, the kids who are in ministry, the other kids feel a little bit of they're more special because, you know, they were in ministry. That really matters to them. And there's always some kind of how do we get that blessing? How do we get to have our parents' blessing? And how do you get your kids to bless you? I mean, I got some good Father's Day cards, and I've held on to them. They got some good words. I love the blessing from my parents, but from my kids and from my parents. But how do we balance that with God's desires, what God wants for our kids? Okay, now the next story. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, you can imagine all the rivalries that went on in this family already before we even get started. When Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That's why he was called Edom. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. Birthright? Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good's the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew.
He ate and drank and then got up and left. It wasn't really that close to death if he got up and left that quick. But so Esau despised his birthright. So it's not very often, see, the narrator, the writer of this is trying to give you the clues in things like he was furry, he was kind of animal, you know, just little clues. But here he outright says, so Esau despised his birthright. Usually he doesn't give you that. He wants you to get the point of what's the main point here. Now, Jacob doesn't look so great either. But the main point here is that Esau, I mean, Jacob's a conniver, and this is not going to go well for him. But Esau, what is he after? He trades something that's forever, something that's for generations, for one bowl of lentils. I mean, the story even, give me some of that red stuff. It sounds like it's this rich, meaty sauce, right? Turns out to be just lentils. Really? I mean, I like lentils, but... So, back to our question, what do you desire? The more long-term your desire is, the better your decisions. Now, this is good financial planning, and a lot of you are trying to teach your kids this. Kids, listen up. The more long-term your desires, the better kind of decisions you're going to make, right? As you grow up, you learn that, you know, I spent all my money on candy, and I really wanted a game. And then I spent my money on a game, I really wanted the new PS3 or the Xbox or whatever it was, right? And then you figure out, well, I actually want to go to college. How am I going to do that? And you start figuring out that the more long-term your planning is, the better decisions you're going to make in the meantime, right? But most of us, as much as we talk about financial planning and all that stuff, don't think about past retirement. Besides which, some of us are never even going to get to retirement. We have to be thinking beyond death. What's going to happen to my family when I'm gone, and to my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, beyond that, stuff that I can't pass on, not just financial stuff. What's going to happen to my eternal destiny? Do I have a place in the new earth? Are my rewards, am I building up not my Delta rewards or my Microsoft rewards, but my eternal rewards? That's what's going to matter. So what do you value? You can tell what somebody values by the price they paid for it plus the attitude they had with it. Now, it's easy. You can tell somebody, you know, the other day with somebody with their truck. I'm like, nice truck. It wasn't hard to get him talking about his truck because it was a beautiful new truck, and obviously he was excited about it. And I know he paid quite a bit for that truck with all those features. So you can tell it's valuable to him, right? Somebody's house, somebody's education, somebody's art, whatever it is, you can get them talking about it because they are joyful that they spent all their money on it, right? New Testament tells a story about the kingdom of God, you can treasure hidden in a field. The person went with joy and sold everything he had to get that one treasure. That's what the kingdom of God is worth, he's saying. It's worth everything you have with joy. Sell it all to get that one thing. And loving God and loving people, that's what we're after, right? But how many times, even in our families, we end up with rifts in our families over some little thing, right? It was about who's going to watch TV or who is going to play with the Xbox or who got whose toys or clothes or inheritance, and we don't talk to each other for 20 years, right? Really, is that worth it? Loving God and loving people. Okay, let's move on. Genesis 27, actually it flows over into 28, and it starts just before. It talks about Esau when he was 40 years old, married a couple of Canaanite women, which he impulsively just went out and married him. He didn't seem to have Isaac or Rebekah's blessing, and he's marrying local women, which was, you know, going to get him in bad shape. We'd already had an issue with Abraham saying you need to go get Rebekah someplace else. That's how it's kind of introduced. And then we're looking for key words. Now, I've talked about key words before, and especially looking for repetition. How can you look for those words? So I just gave you an example of what I did. Now, what I did was I had Liz copy off about four different translations, use
the ESV, which is more word for word. And then I went through and just underlined. So all of the blue there is blessing. A lot of the it's can't distinguish the colors very well, but the yellow is about eating and food. And there's some things about senses that are underlined with green. And there's a little bit in a slightly different color you can't tell about loving. And you really can't tell. But the Lord is only mentioned twice and just in somebody else's mouth. So so a couple key words. Game, 8 times. And tasty food, 6 times. And eating, a whole bunch of other times. I forgot to put that up. Blessing is mentioned 7 times. And bless, 21 times. So baraka in, well, it'd be in Swahili, but it's very close to that in Hebrew, is mentioned a whole bunch. So that those are some key things to look for as we read this passage. All right? Okay. So let's read. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak he could no longer see. Now notice we talked about narrative too and dialogue. Dialogue in Scripture is often dialogue. Two people. We're going to have several sets of two people talking here. So it starts with Isaac and Esau. He called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." Isaac said, "I'm now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. You can tell they have a great communication in this family. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Isaac, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessings before he dies." Jacob said to his mother Rebekah, "Well, that's not right. Why would I do that? Lie to my father." No, that's not what he says. He doesn't worry about that. But my brother Esau, he says, "How can I pull off this trick? But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went out and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. Now, kids, how many senses do we have? Anybody know how many senses we have? Yeah, I'm giving you a trick. So what are they? Kids. Sight? Smell? No, kids now. Sight? Smell? What are the other senses? Taste? Yep. Hearing? Seeing? Did anybody mention that? Touch? Very good. Okay, we got them all. So now pay attention as this happens to the 5 senses and see what's happening as they go through these 5 senses. So, Jacob went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his father, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "Ah, the Lord, your God, gave me success." Ooh. Lying in the Lord's name. Notice, too, he says, "your God." Jacob doesn't have a whole lot of relationship with God at this point. And God would have given him success, but he had to find his own way.
Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." So there's a touch sense, right? Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Now, why couldn't you just give him some blessing? Well, he wanted to get some good food out of it, right? As long as I'm giving away a blessing. Jacob brought it to him, and he ate. And he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. Then Isaac caught the smell of his clothes. He blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? He's deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I've made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine, so that what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his neck, his yoke from your neck." So this is prophecies about these nations, Edom and Israel. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Let's, before we read on, let's talk a little bit about this.
So we have a little picture here of the attempt, the deceit. I want you to think about desires. Now, why do I have a picture of a hyena up there? Anybody ever heard a story about a hyena and desires? Raise your hand. No Africans have heard any stories about hyenas and desires? Okay, thank you. So in the stories I've heard in Tanzania have a lot of stories about the hyena is the classic greedy animal, gluttonous animal. And so the hyena always wants more and is foolish. So Esau and even Isaac are gluttons. They're impulsive, driven by the body's desires. Esau wants to get married, he just goes marry somebody. He wants food, he wants it now, and nothing else matters. His father, instead of having spiritual sight and insight into what's going to happen in the future, is really thinking about, boy, it would taste great to have some game. Well, how should I treat my kids? Well, Esau feeds me really well. I like the food that he gets. And Isaac is a person of faith, But he will not sacrifice his favorite food or his favorite child. Remember that Isaac was sacrificed. He should have learned that God is ultimate. We can't make anything else ultimate. You know, food is good. And children are good. Sons are good. Daughters are good. But if they become ultimate, they become idols. We very seldom make idols of bad things. We tend to make idols of good things that just aren't the ultimate good. Right? It's that relationship that's going to be everything you need. It's that, and then the result is we're defeated. So the story of the hyena, or one of the stories, there's many stories, but one of the stories is how Njiambili Zilimshinda Fisi, if I got that right. I can't remember the one verb, but two paths defeated the hyena. So the hyena saw a goat tangled in the branches in the plains of the Serengeti. So he started going down there, and then he saw down this other path that there was an antelope caught over here. So he oh, I'll get the antelope. So he started going over there, and he said, but I have to have the goat. So he went over there, and then he had to have the oh, but the antelope. And finally he split in two because he was so greedy he couldn't pick between the goat and the antelope. And that's what happens to many of us. We have good desires, but then we have other good desires. We want to follow God, but we also want the other stuff. Jesus and, you know? It's easy to do. We live in a society that feeds our senses and that gives us new desires that every advertisement and every billboard and every new thing talks about this pleasure and that success and this next thing. And you walk into the grocery store and you got all of this stuff, right? And you can think, and we all have our different ways, right? Some of us spend too much money on food. Other people spend money on macaroni and cheese, but that's not good for their bodies. Others of us do everything at Whole Foods, but don't think about other people. I mean, and we can all get caught in. I mean, I found out this year that my sister's family has a saying about, not about the hyena, but about Steve. Because one time we were back, supposed from Africa, and we hadn't had fruit for a while, and they had blueberries, and I said, oh, I really like blueberries. And I took a whole bunch of blueberries, and everybody else in line went, we like blueberries too. So that's kind of a little classic story in their case about I like blueberries. You know, gluttony is not just about being good to your body. It's also about sharing with other people. And how are we sharing? And since I was the littlest, it wasn't a big deal. Jan's family, she's taught me that when you go to their house, you parcel out how much potatoes are there to go all around the potato. And you make sure that you take just enough. My mom always had more back in the kitchen. So you have to be careful about what we eat. Honestly, that's a biblical thing, to be careful about what you eat and not to be a glutton. This is a story about gluttony and about greed. Those are two of our most popular sins in America. Right? To be honest, none of us, but you know, all those people have issues with that. How do we keep our focus on the main thing and receive food as a blessing from God and thank God for it? Receive other good things as blessings from God and thank God for them, but not make them our desire, not make them our focus. What about the body's senses? Isaac uses all five senses, but he doesn't listen to God. He's doing all he can to test out the empirical facts here, and he's wrong. Just like optical illusions can be wrong, right? He's deceived by his desires and his senses. Are any of us ever? You're blind if you listen only to your senses or to science. Just because you have a microscope to help you see more or a telescope doesn't mean you see it all. I had a long Facebook exchange, probably 100 I don't know, it went on for months with a high school classmate of mine. And his point was, if you can't test it, it doesn't exist. If there's no empirical evidence, if it can't be tested by science, it doesn't exist. I said, what about love? What about what he said? Love is a chemical reaction. And I said, you know, that's great, and it's very logical as long as you take that as your premise, but you can't prove your premise that only what's empirically testable exists. There's no empirical way to prove that. So, but his desire was to not have somebody else tell him what to do, so that premise served him pretty well. The fact is, science can't show you everything. And the other person in the conversation was a PhD chemist friend of ours from high school who has a bunch of patents, and he was saying, yeah, absolutely. And we scientists, we go within these parameters, we learn things, and he's got patents for salt that gets sprayed on the road, but he knows it's not everything. He knows there's a lot of things that can't be tested by science. Science is great at certain things, not at everything. Desiring blessing. We deeply desire to be blessed by our parents and by our children, but this can become an idol. How can we give an appropriate blessing in our family to kids who are different? How can we forgive and bless our parents even though they aren't actually perfect? Kids, just, I'm going to break it to you now. If you haven't figured it out yet, your parents are not perfect. And they're not even going to be perfect after all the parenting you do for them and trying to help them out. Tell them different ways they could improve. They're still not going to be perfect. And your kids aren't going to be perfect either, despite all the times you tell them how to improve and different ways they could do that, how they could bless you. Making and receiving God's blessing has to be our focus in our families. So how do you pursue your desires? So Jacob has it right. He knows what's important. The birthright, the blessing, the promise is what's important. I want to have that. He gets it. Rebecca gets it. But they do it through manipulation and deception. They seek after that because they don't trust God. God said this is going to happen. He's going to make it happen. Yes, you need to work for it, but not manipulate for it, deceive for it. So we need to seek God's kingdom and justice, but we need to do it justly. There's lots of people seeking justice, but not always justly. You know, Gandhi and Martin Luther King made a big deal of seeking justly. But Saul Alinsky had a different thing. Just make enemies and get people against you, and you'll stir things up and make things happen. We need to seek the kingdom of God justly. Wrong means brings a high cost. Let's read on. Esau held a grudge and said he's going to kill his father. When Rebekah was told that her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. Wait, she's thinking months, right? It's going to end up being 20 years. When your brother's no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day? She never sees Jacob again. And we never hear from her again. This is one of the costs. Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. This is open communication again. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living. So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing of Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau responds by marrying another woman, thinking that'll make things better. She's an Ishmaelite, so maybe she's closer. So this is a high cost. This family is torn apart. A guy I worked with when I was down in Redwood Falls in the nurse, as a certified nursing assistant in the nursing home, his family was all the next town away. He never saw them. He and his father, he had borrowed some money from his father, and his father pushed him to get it back. I don't know what happened. But anyways, he had a huge family that he never saw. And that's not unusual. It's not unusual for people to have something that drives a wedge in the family and they never see each other. I'm sure some of you have some siblings, maybe parents, maybe kids that you don't see. And it's sad. And it gets to be a big thing. And usually it's not about that one thing. It's about who is right and who's going to say they were right, right? So lack of trust in God produces lack of trust in relationships. Jacob, Rebecca could have waited for God to do it. This story, the Lord really isn't in the picture. He lets people mess around and mess things up, and yet he still accomplishes what he's going to do. But they could have let God fulfill the promise that he'd given. But they figured they had to manipulate. What are we going to do about Isaac? What are we going to do about this? They had to deceive. They had to find some way. God will graciously use us despite our failures. God does eventually use Jacob to become the father of Israel and to fulfill his promise to bless him and make him a blessing to all nations. But there are real consequences for our sins. And we reap what we sow. We're going to see as we go along here the deceiver being deceived. He's going to go to Laban, and he's going to have a desire, not for food, but for Rachel. And Laban's going to use that against him, and when he's in the dark, he's going to end up with the wrong sister instead of the wrong brother, right? And then his kids are going to kill a goat and use some clothes and deceive him. This stuff, I mean, it's a great story, but it's so sad that he's reaping what he sowed. And we can't keep reaping that and hanging on to it. Hang on to that root of bitterness. Do you need to reconcile with a sister or brother? In your family? Your extended family? Or maybe it's your parents or your kids. Or maybe it's a sister or brother in this family. Or the church that you left to come here. Do you need to reconcile with somebody? Can you forgive them, or do you need to go to them to ask for forgiveness? Is that thing that broke it worth the broken relationship? Is it worth sacrificing your family for that? So, what is your destiny? Not just you, but your family, your future. What is our destiny? Some questions. What is God's design for you? Well, it's here. God's design for you is already here. He has already designed something for you, and something specific that if you pray and read Scripture, you will find out is specifically for you. He has a design and a purpose for you, and he really has a design and purpose for us together. And each of our gifts together. And you can't fulfill your design by yourself. This is about a family. What do you desire? And are you splitting in half because you're trying to have all the stuff that the American dream or the world's ways of doing things promises you will help, plus the kingdom of God? It's not really possible, actually. We'd like to think so, that we can. I would like to think so. I would like to think I could have all of that and the kingdom of God. But I really have to pursue the kingdom of God. And God says, I'll provide you what you need to eat and drink, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. But if you seek those other things, you'll lose out. You'll trade for that pot of porridge, the promise, the potential, the promise forever. Decide, how will you pursue your desires? Are you going to manipulate some slight deception, some way of making yourself look better? Just brush up the CV a little bit. Just make things a little bit better than they really are. How will you, and you know, parents, our kids learn to lie from us, right? In little things like, okay, so you got an ugly present, just smile and thank them and say it's really good, you know? Cartoon I just saw, the wife saying, so do I look fat? And the husband saying, do I look stupid? You know, we have little ways. Not that you need to be brutally honest with each other now, but often we're not doing it for the other person's sake. We're deceiving for ourselves, right? Manipulation. So design plus desires plus decisions about how you're going to pursue those desires produces your destiny. Every day. It's a choice every day. You don't get started on this thing. You don't go to camp and have a great experience and then, I'm grateful for my experiences at camp. But following up on those experiences every day and saying, this is my desire, this is my decision, this is how I'm going to seek that, that's what produces a destiny. Let's pray together. I don't know which of these things God might be specifically honing in for you. But ask yourself one of those questions. What do you desire? How are you pursuing that desire? Let's pray. Lord, we need you. We need you even to desire the right things. Lord, you've given us other desires for food and for relationships and for blessing in our families. But Lord, we don't want to make them ultimate. We don't want to live just for our stomachs, just for our body's needs. We want to live for you. We want the destiny you have designed for us. Please, please purify our desires. And please, please give us trust in you so that we can let you show us how to get those. The righteous way, the just way to pursue what you have desired to give us. Thank you for your desire for us, for your desire to bless us, to choose us, to show us your way. Amen. I want to give an opportunity for those of you who need to come and pray. The altar is open. There will be others here to pray with you about your desires, about your ways of getting those desires. Welcome. And then I'm going to bless you. And we're going to sing another song. So those of you who want to go can go. The song, well, I've changed the words a little bit because we want our whole lives to be about our desires for God, okay? So let me bless you. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us and you want to bless us. And so now in your name, I bless your people. May you be blessed with the fruit of the land. May you be blessed with the good things. May you be blessed, people of God, with desire for the best things in life, desire for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. May you be blessed with the Holy Spirit's guidance to lead you into how to seek those things. May you be blessed with Jesus' love in your hearts. May you be shining that light. May the Father bless you with all that he has in his abundant desire to give to you for your future and your destiny. Amen.